Nandan, I called him Yadav instead of calling him Bhagavan, Prabhu, Mahaprabhu. I called him Sakha. Instead of paying obeisances to him, I embraced him. Instead of serving him nicely, I ate with him. Instead of sitting on lower level in front of him, I sat on equal level. Instead of serving him, I requested him to become my sarthi, which is an inferior position. And I sometimes ordered him. So this is the offense I committed to Krishna, who is the supreme master of all the demigods, who is Shaktiman, the master of all the energies, all the potencies, who is higher than Brahma, Shiva, Chandra, Vayu, Agni, Indra. When Arjuna goes to Brahma, he pays obeisances. When he goes to Shiva, he pays obeisances. When he goes to Indra, he pays obeisances. When he goes to Bhishma Pitama, he pays obeisances. So what should he do when he goes to somebody higher than all the four? Higher than Bhishma Pitama, Brahma, higher than Shiva, higher than Indra. What should he do? Go and embrace? No, obviously pay obeisances, but I never did. When I go to Shiva, with folded hands I am expressing Lord Shiva. When I go to Brahma, with folded hands I am addressing Lord Brahma. When I go to Yudhishthir Maharaj, with folded hands I am addressing Maharaj Yudhishthir. But to you, I said, oh Krishna, didn't even fold my hands. So Arjuna is recalling all these interactions and realizing that I have committed a mistake. So he is begging forgiveness here. Committing mistakes, we have license. Commit. We are fallible. Krishna is infallible. So if somebody commits mistake, not a big thing. But after committing mistake, what should we do? What response we should do? That is what Arjuna is doing. He is feeling guilt and he is begging for forgiveness. If we commit a mistake and we are caught or we are about to be caught, the first thing we do is deny. If the deny doesn't work, then we give excuse that how it was not in my hands, it happened. If that doesn't work, then we blame. That's because of somebody else's responsibility. So this is normal defense psychology. To deny, to explain, give excuse, to blame others or circumstances. Or tell others also. You also do. Everybody does. But this is not mode of doing. Arjuna is not doing all. When we do a mistake, the first thing is to realize the mistake. Be aware that yes, I have done it. Be responsible. The second thing is to repent internally that I have done a mistake. If a person repents his mistake, he is free from the reaction. The third thing is to rectify the mistake. The fourth thing is to reconcile the situation. Four R's we should remember. Realize, repent, rectify, and reconcile. So if we hurt somebody, then we have to realize that I have hurt. Then we have to repent that I did a wrong thing. Then we have to rectify, go and beg forgiveness. Reconcile after begging forgiveness, we receive forgiveness, we continue the relationship normally. So this is mode of goodness. If we don't make forgiveness in Krishna consciousness, if you are not given forgiveness in Krishna consciousness, however nice bhakti you are doing, mangalarti, chanting 16 rounds in Brahma Muhurta period, Guru Puja, class, arti, everything, you will not go back home, back to Godhead. Hurting somebody is so dangerous, especially a Vaishnava. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Navadvip Leela gave Krishna Prem to everybody, but he didn't give to Sachi Mata, his own mother. Because according to him, she had offended Advaita Acharya. So unless she begs forgiveness from Advaita Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I will not give her Krishna. The mother of Supreme Personality of Godhead, not given Krishna name. Devanand Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't give his mercy because he offended Srivas. There are so many such examples. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't give mercy because they offended somebody, some Vaishnava. Unless the Vaishnava forgives, it will not work. Durvasa Muni, he offended Ambarish Maharaj, and Sudarshan Chakra was behind Durvasa Muni. Sudarshan Chakra belongs to Narayan. So Durvasana ran here and there, he went to Brahma, Shiva, they couldn't help. Finally he went to Narayan, he said, your Sudarshan Chakra is behind me. Narayan said, I can't do it, not in my country. If you want relief, you go and beg forgiveness from Ambarish Maharaj. Then Durvasana came to Ambarish Maharaj and begged forgiveness, and then by the request of Ambarish Maharaj, Sudarshan Chakra left. So even Krishna cannot help the offender. The offender has to go to Vaishnava, whom he has hurt, whom he has offended, seek forgiveness. And Vaishnava are by nature very kind, very merciful. They quickly forgive. Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he was in Virat Raj, incognito, for 1 year, incognito, in hiding, he was the courtier, or as a servant of the king of Virat. So towards the end of the year, Duryodhan and his party, they attacked Virat Raj. And Virat Raj's son, he took Arjuna, who was Brahmala, as a sarthi, to fight against Duryodhan's army, Kaurava army. And they returned victorious. The news came to the king. And the king was so pleased that my son single-handedly defeated Kaurav army. So he was very joyful. At that time, again and again, Yudhishthira Maharaj said that your son was victorious because Brihadhana was with him. And Virat Raj got very angry, so much so that he wounded Yudhishthira Maharaj's mouth and blood started coming out. Immediately he indicated to Draupadi, who brought a vessel with water and collected the blood. So then Virat son came, and before he was paying obeisances to his father, he saw Yudhishthira Maharaj. He now realized, he said, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Arjuna has revealed. So he went and begged forgiveness from Yudhishthira Maharaj. Said, my dear Rajkumar, my dear prince, I have already forgiven your father before he wounded. Yudhishthira Maharaj was so kind and merciful, he could forgive even without asking. That is Yudhishthira Maharaj. He never kept enmity against Duryodhana in his heart. He never kept revenge in his heart. A Vaishnava's heart is very, very simple. Govinda Vishram, Vaishnava's Hridaya, is the place where Krishna resides and takes rest. Krishna sleeps. Krishna doesn't sleep in dirty hearts. He sleeps in very soft, clean hearts, broad hearts. Vaishnava's heart is very pure, very clean, very soft. He very easily forgives. But if you offend him, then our spiritual advancement is gone. So mistakes happen. But once we commit mistakes, once we realize our mistake, we should repent and offer a sincere apology. We should offer forgiveness, beg forgiveness, rectify the situation. So Arjuna is thinking like this, that I have dealt with Krishna equally. I have got in Yadav. Generally Yadav at that time was not a respectable word. Because the Yadus, they would never become kings. It was not respectable. It's a common word. Krishna is so special, showing the universal form and all the opulences. Calling it such a common word, Yadav, is not good. Calling him Krishna instead of Sri Krishna, disrespectful. So Arjuna is contemplating all this. He even went with Krishna hunting one day. One day Krishna came to Hastinapur and he was staying with Arjuna in Arjuna's room. Then it was very hot summer, so they both decided to go out in the woods near the Yamuna River and they hunt some animals. So they both went and Arjuna was hunting in front of Krishna, killing the animals. And he was bragging how he is so powerful, how he can hear nicely. He was showing his skills, his talent to Krishna. And Krishna was like, wow, shabash, very good, nice, very good. So suddenly, they both saw one girl, very beautiful, on the shore of Yamuna, Lakshmi Devi, like Lakshmi Devi. They both saw the girl. So the girl got interested. So Krishna told Arjuna, Chakra, you should go. Go and ask who is. So Arjuna went and asked her, who are you? What are you doing here? Alone in the forest? Are you married? Straightly, are you married? She was Nalini, the daughter of Chakra. She said, I know. You are Arjuna. I am daughter of Sakta. And let me tell you, I have only one desire, to marry Krishna. Nobody else I will marry. Indicated clearly that you are not the Supreme. But I know you are a great devotee of Krishna. If you pray to him, he will accept my hand. So Arjuna came back to Krishna. Right, she is for you. He wants to marry you. Immediately Krishna called her, come on my rath. He accepted her hand and got married. So they were so close friends. Equal friends. But now after seeing this universal form, Arjuna is being careful. Krishna dealt with Arjuna as a friend even though Krishna is superior. But that doesn't mean Arjuna should also do the same way. It may happen that our spiritual master or a senior Vaishnava deals with us as a friend. How are you? Patting our back, keeping his hand on our shoulder, joking with us. But that doesn't mean we also start dealing with friends and keep our hand on his shoulder and say, yes, all is fine, how are you? That is breach of etiquette. Familiarity breeds contempt. We should not become over familiar with our spiritual master. That's why when one serves the spiritual master, one should follow all etiquette, pay obeisances, offer them a raised seat, not sit on equal seat, not use the personal belongings of spiritual master, slippers, umbrella, clothes, sitting place, or personal management area. They should be worshipped. They should be not kept at a lower level than us. So when we do this, the etiquette is maintained, the respect is maintained. Otherwise, out of familiarity, if we think the spiritual master is like ordinary person, he also gets ill, he also feels hungry, he also gets sleepy, he also has material, visible emotion, feeling. And that familiarity will make us commit offenses, will make us disrespect the spiritual master. Thinking him ordinary, you will not be able to serve properly. You will change our priority. You will not be first class servant. And that will introduce faults in our seva, which will introduce offerings, which will introduce material desires, and we will go away from it. Then we start seeing deity as food. We start seeing Mahaprasad as ordinary food. We start seeing holy name as ordinary form of adoration. When we see the spiritual master as ordinary person. So one has to be very careful. Krishna is the perfect reciprocator. So when somebody approaches him as a friend, he perfectly reciprocates as a friend. But a person should be careful. People, devotees like Arjuna or Yashoda Maya, they are beyond this chance of doing offense. Yashoda Maya approaches Krishna as a mother, and Krishna reciprocates as a son. Krishna doesn't require milk from her breast. But when Yashoda Maya wants to feed, Krishna expresses hunger. This is Krishna's reciprocation. That if I cry, if I crawl, if I do naughty activities, if I become hungry, if I feel sleepy, if I become angry, Yashoda Maya will like me. Her love for me, which is in the mood of mother, will be fueled. So to keep her emotion, he expresses his reciprocation, he expresses his feelings as a small child. Krishna appears as a baby is only for Yashoda Maya. His appearance as a baby dependent on Maya is only to satisfy her emotion, her rasa, that I am mother of Krishna. In the same way, Krishna reciprocates with everybody. With enemies, asuras, Krishna reciprocates as perfect enemies and kills them. With friends, he reciprocates as friends and plays games. With Radharani, he reciprocates as a lover. With queens of Dwarka, he reciprocates as an ordinary henpecked husband. So this is Krishna's greatness. This is Krishna's reciprocation. Even though he knows that I am superior to Arjuna, but he never expressed his superiority. He always expressed his friendliness to Arjuna because he was reciprocating with Arjuna's bhav, who accepted Krishna as his sakha. This is very great quality of Krishna, which you will not see in ordinary people. However good character, good behavior person is he, if you go and try to reciprocate with him, he will fail. If you suddenly go unknown person who is superior in some respects and express your friendship, he will not like it. He will fail. But Krishna will like it. Krishna will reciprocate as a perfect friend. That is Krishna, Ras, Bihari. All the five rasas he can reciprocate perfectly. No other person can do that. That's why Arjuna is calling Krishna Achyuta. Achyuta, infallible. He doesn't fail to reciprocate. And the beauty is, even though Krishna comes down on the level of the jiva to reciprocate as a friend, as a son, as an inferior, as a lover, Krishna's greatness doesn't change. That is Krishna's absolute nature. Even though somebody reciprocates with him, not accepting his superiority, he still remains. If everybody in the world says this 100 rupee note is 10 rupee note, what will be the value of this? 10 rupees. 100 rupees. We'll have to vote. How many vote for 10 rupees? How many vote for 100 rupees? Oh, no. So if everybody says it is 10 rupees, it is 10 rupees. You can't purchase 100 rupee object with it. Why? Because the person opposite to you is going to tell it's 10. Can't purchase 100 rupees. The value of the note depends on everybody's acceptance. But if everybody says Krishna is just my friend, not God, Krishna still remains God. That is meaning of achyut, infallible. Nobody can decrease his position, even though he reciprocates on a lower level of his status. Nobody can decrease. Even though Krishna was walking in Vrindavan barefoot, every day barefoot, if he comes to your house, will you offer him pepper? Yes. Suppose there is a man known to you, walks barefoot whole life. Will you give him a chappal?
No.
So why will you give Krishna then?
Yeah.
His position does not reduce. He is still the supreme personality of Godhead. Even though he appears to be ordinary, his position does not reduce. Achyuta. This is infallible. He doesn't fail to reciprocate. Everybody who approaches Krishna is satisfied. Even though somebody approaches him as an enemy, they are satisfied. Even Hiranyakashipu was satisfied. He wanted to kill Vishnu. And Vishnu hid in his heart. And Hiranyakashipu searched, he didn't find. He thought, okay, he is dead. Satisfied. But Vishnu is sitting in his heart. He didn't search inside his heart, he searched everywhere else. Krishna's reciprocation is perfect. His position is absolute. He doesn't fail in his duties, he doesn't fail in his activities. Up till now, there is no activity which Krishna had a purpose and he performed, and that purpose was not fulfilled. Where his attempt was unsuccessful. Whatever was intention, and he performed an action, that intention was fulfilled. That was purpose was fulfilled. His every attempt is successful. That is infallible. Every time in the history he has protected his devotees. There is not a single example in the whole history of this creation where there is a devotee who required protection and Krishna didn't protect him. Not a single example like that in the whole history of time. This is infallible. This is Achyuta. Ekha, you are only one. One and only one. There is nobody like Krishna. He is unique. Nobody can replace him. Nobody can substitute him. And there is nobody whom you can call second after Krishna. Neither there is nobody equal to Krishna, nor there is anybody second to Krishna. Because he can't be compared. So such an achyut, eka, infallible supreme personality of Godhead, Arjuna thinks like this being, I disrespected, I became familiar, who is begging for me? Becoming familiar to a superior person or a guru or lord is very big offense. There was one Ramchandra Puri, disciple of Madhvendra Puri, godbrother of Ishwar Puri. So at the end time, Madhvendra Puri was very ill. He was bedridden. Even his stool and urine he will pass on bed and Ishwar Puri will clean it every time. But Madhvendra Puri on the bed will keep on crying. In separation from Krishna, in separation from Vrindavan. Oh my Krishna, oh Vrindavan, oh Mathura Dham, I wasted my life, I neither attained Vrindavan nor attained Krishna. Right. very dukkhi, very distressed. And Ishwarpuri will support these emotions and ecstasies by telling Krishna Katha, by speaking the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and he will sleep peacefully. So Bhadadapur disciple Ramchandra Puri was near him, seeing his spiritual master crying all day, about to die. Then he dared to instruct his spiritual master. A disciple should never advise his spiritual master, should never dare to give instruction. Just obey. But he dared. He said, "Oh Guru Maharaj, why are you crying? Krishna is everywhere in the form of Brahm. So just think of Brahm." Madhavendra got so angry, he said, "You rascal, you get out from here. I am already in pain by seeing your face and my pain is increasing. I don't want to die seeing your face and get out." And Madhavendra Puri was disassociated from his spiritual master. His spiritual master rejected him, and because of this he developed material desires. Even though he continued his life as a sannyasi, but always wherever he go he will find faults in other people. So much so that when he came to Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his obeisances to Ramchandra Puri because he is god brother of his guru. Ramchandra Puri, he didn't identify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as God. He would criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He observed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very closely to find one fault, but he never got it. He observed all his routine, his activities, his eating, his sleeping, whether he's sleeping more, whether he's eating more, but he couldn't find a single fault. Then he started imagining faults. One day morning he came to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He saw some ants near his house. He said, "Look, this sannyasi, at night he eats sugar. That's why there are ants." Ants are everywhere, not necessarily you are eating sugar. That's why there are ants. So he started imagining faults. He became a big fault. But Ishwarpuri, he served Madhavendra Puri. And Madhavendra blessed him that he will attain love of Godhead. And Ishwarpuri became such a great devotee that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Ishwarpuri as his spiritual master. So both Ramchandra Puri and Ishwarpuri are greatest examples of people or devotees who were have rejected by a great devotee and who have been blessed by a great devotee. A great devotee's blessing and his rejection, both are equally powerful. When he blesses, we attain love of Godhead, and when he rejects, we become envious materialists. We don't progress. So Madhavendra rejected Ramchandra Puri and he became envious. Madhavendra blessed Ishwarpuri and he became spiritual master of God himself, Krishna himself. All the days when Ramchandra Puri was in Jagannath Puri, all the devotees were very unhappy. They will see him as a burden and think when he will go. So that there is nobody criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu unnecessarily. He would criticize so much that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started eating half. So nobody was very upset. So Ramchandra Puri's behavior became like this. Because he became familiar with the spiritual master, he dared to instruct his spiritual master, and because of that, he was rejected by his spiritual master. Offense to a spiritual master, offense to great Krishna, is so dangerous. So we should not hurt anybody. We should not commit mistakes. But we are conditioned so we may hurt. We may not even know we are hurting. So we should beg for it. After every seva, we should beg for it. Because the spiritual master may not tell us that we offend. He's humble, he's tolerant. But it's our duty after every seva to Krishna and Guru to pay obeisance and seek forgiveness. Then if there is any apraad in the seva, it's fine. By paying obeisance sincerely, we are forgiven. And that way, we don't collect apraad and we progress nicely. So we should learn from Arjuna. We may do a mistake, but after that, we definitely get to do it. Arjuna, of course, is on the transcendental platform of Sakha. Even after hearing Bhagavad Gita, he remains Sakha of Krishna. His knowledge doesn't dilute his relationship because his transcendental position is such. Krishna also reciprocated with Arjuna as a friend. Krishna reciprocates with all living entities as per their rasa. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. And this doesn't change ordinarily. Whatever rasa a person has, that is eternal. A conditioned soul, coming from the spiritual world, forgets his relationship with Krishna. But when he becomes liberated, he goes back to the Vaikuntha Loka and he remembers and occupies the same relationship. As he purifies himself in the material wealth by sadhana and by mercy, the relationship which he has for Krishna gradually is revealed to him in his heart. So externally he continues as a sadhaka, getting up early morning, mangalarti, chanting, bhagavatam, everything. But internally he meditates and performs seva to Krishna in his rasa, in his relationship. And when he gets liberated, he joins Krishna with that rasa, with that relationship. So we already have a relationship with Krishna. But we have forgotten. Krishna has not forgotten. He is sitting in our heart as Paramatma to remind us, to revive our relationship. So we should cooperate with Paramatma. We should cooperate with the Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, our expressions of Paramatma, our representatives of Paramatma. Then we develop our relationship, we revive our relationship with Krishna. This is the ultimate goal of life. Since lifetime we have forgotten our relationship with Krishna and we are sitting here and making relationship with others, including dogs and cats. People love their dogs so much, more than humans. I visited Australia. There is a clear policy of every family at age 18, girl or boy, they leave the house. They earn their own. They have their own room and they keep a dog. Fixed. 99% people are like that. They leave their old parents. They don't take care of their old parents, but they take care of the dog. Whole day they spend by dog. There are separate shops for dog food. Dogs decorative, shingar item, dogs parlor, dogs clinic. There are separate shops like this on every street about dogs and things a dog requires. What kind of societies did you leave your old parents and you serve dogs? But we are not less. We have left Krishna, our real relationship. And we are forming so many multiple relationships on material, illusory terms. No meaning to all. We have to revive our relationship with Krishna. So many lifetimes we have not tried. Now we have got this fortunate movement in association of pure devotees. So we should realize this human form of life very sincerely and engage in Krishna consciousness. Engage in nice devotional service. So that we revive and go back. Okay? We'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the Prabhupada. Is there any questions? Yes.
There was even, in which nobody was dishonored.